search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another episode of our program In Search of Piety. In our previous episode, we covered different aspects of understanding related to tasawwuf, the origins of tasawwuf. Our program itself is based upon a very famous compilation written by a hadith scholar born in the 4th Islamic century, famously known as Hafiz Abu Nu'aym, the great Hafiz al-Hadith, and his book being Hilyatul Awliya wa Tabaqatul Asfiya. So many of the narrations and the points of discussion that we share in this program are based upon his work, and we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to be inspired by the explanations, the clarifications, and whatever he cited and whatever he included in his compilation. Because in reality, our search is also a search for piety. In our daily lives, we look to do things, to make such routines, to make such choices, and have such preferences in life which lead to piety. Because we deep down as believers know and believe that piety is a way of attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything that we do in this world is for, or should be for, the rida, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want to succeed. Today's episode is called Attributes of Tasawwuf. But before I mention any points or narrations related to this topic, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the excellence, the importance of writing salawat. Yes, writing a prayer of blessings in favor of the best in creation, Al-Mustafa, the final prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has said, and whosoever wrote blessings upon me or blessings in my favor in a book, as long as my name remains in it, angels will seek forgiveness for him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Just a reminder that if we are given an opportunity to write the name of the beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a book or writing, or we write about him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam after his name or title, we should write the expression of or the prayer of blessing or the expression of salat in full. So our ulama have explained that abbreviations, whether it's the Sad or the Sad Lam Ayn Mim, or in English PBUH or anything, or P or anything like that, which is an abbreviation, is not permissible. If we write the name of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or his titles in a book or any piece of writing, we ensure that we include the prayer of blessing for him in full. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to act upon this. Remember, even if we are writing in our normal everyday routine, or if it's something like calligraphy, it is better that we ensure that the letters of the Salat ala Nabi are clear. And if we write any verses of the Quran or anything like that, even if it's calligraphy, the size of the letters, the ulama have recommended, should be such a size that people can read what has been written, because the purpose is that it is read, as well as an expression of beauty of writing. I would like to begin. This episode is called The Attributes of Tasawwuf because we will share with you some attributes that were mentioned by our pious predecessors, the great scholars of the past, what they said the tasawwuf referred to, how they described the Sufi, and which attributes did such people possess. I begin with a quote, or you can even say a list of attributes that were mentioned by the great Imam of the Tasawwuf, the great scholar, Sayyidina Imam Junayd Baghdadi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. When he was asked about the Tasawwuf, he mentioned that it referred to a name which entails or which encompasses 10 elements. And I will quickly go through the attributes or the descriptions which he mentioned as a definition of the Tasawwuf itself. I want you to reflect upon the following statements, because if anyone is in any doubt about what the Tasawwuf represents, what it entails, then this will answer many of their questions. The first point Imam Junayd Baghdadi mentions is that the Tasawwuf refers to being content with a little of this world rather than excess in this world. So the Tasawwuf does not represent affluence, it represents frugality in this world. That the one who is a Sufi will be someone who is content with less rather than being engaged or indulged in more of this world. The second statement that he mentions is that the Tasawwuf refers to having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than the means. So if we look around in our daily lives, the things that we depend upon, or the things that are a means for us to do other things, in the Tasawwuf, the core concept, or one of the core concepts, is not forgetting the fact that although these asbab, or these means to do different things, exist, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is malikul asbab. He controls all means, and He is the master of all means, and the creator of everything that we use to fulfill our daily activities, among other things. The third statement which he mentioned is the Tasawwuf refers to an inclination to supererogatory worship, nawafil. And we know this from our previous episodes, the discussion about how someone who becomes a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins with the compulsory actions and then he becomes inclined, or he's drawn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more through his efforts in the nawafil, in the supererogatory. So he mentions this here. So the Tasawwuf means that when one has the health to do so, he shows a willingness to the supererogatory acts of worship. The fourth point that he mentions is that the Tasawwuf refers to being patient when anything of this world is lost, not begging or not complaining about what is lost of this world. The fifth point which he mentions is that when something is granted or given as a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, to use it with the correct etiquette, the correct manner, not abusing something that one has been granted, whether that is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or some object one is granted in the form of a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number six, Imam Junayd Baghdadi says that to free oneself or to abandon other engagements and to become focused in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is another point of the Tasawwuf, dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just saying Allah, Allah, it is a sense of awareness, it is a sense of consciousness, reflecting upon the fact. Dhikrullah does not mean repeating the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. It can refer to being in a sense of presence, in a sense of awareness, being conscious of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Number seven, he mentions that in relation to other types of zikr or kinds of zikr, he prefers a zikr which is more quiet. And this is probably alluding to the fact that Imam Junayd Baghdadi is trying to express that a true Sufi is someone who hides his actions or devotions. And this is why, and an example of this is mentioned in the life of Pir Meher Ali Shah Sahib, rahimahullah ta'ala, who mentioned that there was a particular masjid in his time that people would refer to as the haunted place. They wouldn't go there because it was in an area that was abandoned. And Pir Meher Ali Shah Sahib would particularly go there, and he gives the reason why he said because there were some azkar that I did which required loud recitation or for me to repeat aloud, and I didn't want to disturb my neighbors when I was doing that. So that also shows the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that they would not create any kind of inconvenience for those around them, and they would go out of their way to do this. Number 8, Imam Junayd Baghdadi says, despite whispers of the devil, tasawwuf means that despite the whispers of the devil, one remains steadfast. He is not affected in any way in terms of his devotion to his acts of worship or the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 9, his certainty is not affected or not adversely affected by any doubt which may come into his mind. And the last attribute which he mentions, or the last statement that he mentions regarding tasawwuf, is that it refers to being in a state of contentment or attaining contentment by focusing on or by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in a time of restlessness or in a time of fear. So when one is surrounded by fear or restlessness may affect the person, through focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or through turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is in a state of contentment. On another occasion, Imam Junayd Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala was asked about tasawwuf, and his answer was to abandon every evil trait and to adopt every good habit. So if we look at what the meaning of tasawwuf is in light of that particular statement, there is nothing negative that enters the mind, because it is in essence what the teaching of Islam is, that we refrain from all bad, evil traits and we adopt every good habit as shown by our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as preserved by the noble companions radiyallahu anhum who followed the example of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and then those generations that followed them. So if we are refraining from evil and adopting good habits, then this can only lead to success, and this is the trait to have in search of piety. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Shibli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who was influenced by Imam Junayd Baghdadi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was once asked about tasawwuf and what a Sufi is and the attributes of tasawwuf, and there's a long account about how he answers different stages, or he talks about different levels of this self-purification or tasawwuf itself. I would like to quote the lines towards the end of his conversation in that particular dialogue, and as a reminder. So in the end, towards the end of the conversation he is having with someone, when he is asked the question, what are the excellent qualities of the Sufi, of the one who practices the tasawwuf, or the one who walks upon this path of self-purification, Shaykh Abu Bakr Shibli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he answered by saying, the one who purified himself, meaning he rid himself of any kind of impurity or any element which is considered to be bad, and he attained salvation from stinginess, filling himself with this contentment and with this thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his only concern. And the last part which I want to really highlight, he says that the Sufi is someone for whom gold and soil has the same value, it's the same. Meaning he has no inclination to the wealth of this world. In fact, the world itself does not have any attraction for him. So gold, whether it's gold or whether it's soil, both mean the same to him. And what can we understand from this statement? That a true Sufi, or a person who walks upon this path of self-purification, he does not look at the wealth of this world. He looks at everything as being temporary, this abode being a temporary abode. So whether it's gold or whether it's soil, he understands that it's something that he will not take with himself into the hereafter. It is something that will remain in this world, part of this temporary abode, so he shows no inclination to either. Hafiz Abu Nu'aym Ahmad bin Abdullah Asfahani rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that the awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their love is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. the love that they feel in their hearts, it is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they live and die for Allah or in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawn to them. And the creation forgets about their sorrow. And this is, try to visualize this now. A man who is in a state of contentment. He is focusing upon his remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no craving, or he has no inclination to affluence of this world or to attaining any kind of success, a material success in this world. He is sitting there in a state of contentment, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether his lips are moving as he repeats the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whether he sits there in a state of tranquility with his eyes closed. The creation, imagine, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flocking towards him, and they are affected by his sense of presence. They are in awe of him to such an extent that they forget about their sorrows, because this servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is immersed in his love for his creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes them forget about all their sorrows and all their concerns of this world. They look at this man and they just say, Subhanallah, because this man that they see before them is one who reminds them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hafiz Abu Nu'aym, he mentioned that the awliya, they love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in light of this statement, I would like to share with you a famous hadith narration narrated by Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala, and who reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that whosoever has three characteristics experiences the sweetness of Iman, the sweetness of faith. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more beloved to him than everything else, than anything else. Number two, such a person will prefer to be thrown into fire than return to disbelief. And number three, he only loves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one of our previous episodes, we mentioned how the people who love each other only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah will reward them in such a way and honor them in such a way that even the prophets and the martyrs on the Day of Judgment will acknowledge this honor given to these people, and in the essence of their deeds being that they would love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we want to experience the sweetness of Iman, the sweetness of faith, we must love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than everything else. We must become people who have a strong inclination to our faith. We must become and remain people who love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we are able to adopt these characteristics, we will, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, experience the sweetness of Iman. When we think about piety, we need examples to follow. And who better in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than his closest companion, his friend in the cave, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, throughout his life, he showed those examples of piety that we can learn from and that we can use as inspiration for ourselves. We can apply the lessons that we learn from these accounts of his life to become better believers and be successful in our search for piety. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is such a blessed personality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to him in the Quran. One reference being in Surah Tawbah, verse 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions him, the expression of the Quran being the second of two, إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ, when they were in the cave, referring to that event when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an entered the cave of Thawr with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I will refer to that particular account when we come to that discussion, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning him and the event itself, or referring to the event itself in the Quran, is an indication of the kind of honor and esteem Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an has. Another reference which is more general, Hafiz Abu Nu'aym mentions in his Hilya, it refers to the migrant companions, or it's an indication to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states how there is no equality between those who spent in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fought in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the conquest of Makkah and those who did so thereafter. That is the indication of the verse. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an is one of those companions who is described as a muhajir, migrant companion. He's from the muhajirun, and they have a high rank among the noble prophetic companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an showed his devotion to Islam in the early days of Islam. He showed his steadfastness. And steadfastness is one of the signs or the traits of the awliya. It is one of the traits of the tasawwuf. As from Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he showed this in his manner. And especially in the early days of Islam, it is narrated about him that when Ibn Daghina assumed responsibility on behalf of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and came to an understanding with the Quraysh, the disbelievers or the leaders who were not Muslims among the Quraysh, they at the time, they said to him that ensure that Abu Bakr radiallahu an, he does his acts of worship or his devotions, whatever he does it within his home. He doesn't do it in public. And this is the understanding that we will come to. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he continued his manner of worship, his devotion was expressed the way he did to such an extent that when he was in the courtyard of his home reciting Quran, he would become so immersed in his recitation that tears would flow from his eyes. The disbelievers of Mecca would gather around, the women and the children would gather and would be amazed by the devotion and steadfastness showed by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. In the end, even this became a problem for the disbelievers of Mecca and for the leaders of Quraysh. And when he was approached again by Ibn Daghina, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, when he was reminded that part of the understanding or agreement of responsibility or protection was that his devotion was not made public and that he kept it private. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and realized that the way he was worshipping and his manner of devotion is becoming a problem for Ibn Daghina, he said to him, I relieve you of this responsibility. I place my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and he did not care about his personal welfare. He was not concerned about how people will treat him or the fact that his life was in danger by simply worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so openly. His steadfastness was not shaken at all. This is a shining example for us. Many of us, we live apparently in a state of peace. We have no such obstacle that is in our way to go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to place our heads in prostration, to express our devotion and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet we waste our days, our nights in heedlessness. We'll find the time to do things that do not benefit us in this world or in the hereafter, but when it comes to a matter of worship, when it comes to a matter of religion, we find 100 excuses to excuse ourselves apparently from that situation. When someone reminds us that it's time to pray, we look for excuses to exit the room. When we are among religiously devoted people and they express a certain inclination to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to attaining knowledge of the religion, we become hesitant and we try to retreat from that situation. We must ask ourselves, this religion that our noble ancestors, our pious predecessors gave their blood, sweat and lives for, Are we becoming ungrateful in terms of, in light of the sacrifices of our pious predecessors? Do we really value this religion that we were given at birth, a religion which we did not have to work for, a religion which we were not persecuted for? So living in this state of contentment should not make us ungrateful, for when the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, then even the best of people living in the best condition can suddenly become people who are oppressed, people who are suffocated for the very beliefs that they hold. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from such circumstances. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was known for his understanding of the Quran, and an understanding or having Quranic insights was also an attribute of tasawwuf, or an attribute of piety. It is narrated that once he was sitting among some people, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he cited a few verses or expressions from the Quran, and he questioned the people about their meaning. The first expression from Surah Ahqaf, the famous expression, many of you may have heard of this, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the people of faith, how they say, our Lord is Allah, and they are steadfast. And the second verse which he quoted was from Surah Al-An'am, the expression being, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, those who believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the people who believe, and they do not taint their iman with any kind of injustice. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he asked about the meanings of both of these verses. And among his companions, or the people who were sitting there, the answer that was given was that the first expression, رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, those who believe, among the believers who say, our Lord is Allah, and they are steadfast, they said the meaning of this is that you do not adopt another religion. And referring to the second expression of the Quran, they said that the meaning of this is that it means tainting one's faith with sin. So one may commit a sinful action, and because of this, he may be someone who taints his faith. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he said, you have not stated the correct meaning of these verses or these expressions of the Quran. And he revealed the first expression, رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, referring to those who say our Lord is Allah and then they are steadfast. He said, this means that one does not turn to anyone else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One's focus is only upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as far as the second statement is concerned, he said, this refers to not tainting one's faith by associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or committing shirk. So this account itself, it highlights the understanding of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an in terms of the Quran. And one thing I would like to highlight here, the companions who gave their interpretations or their understanding of these verses or expressions of the Quran, they knew the Arabic language, as did Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. But knowing a language does not mean that you understand the message or the context of the statement of that language. And in this case, the Quran. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the people of Mecca, and the description of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, he teaches them the book. Now they understand Arabic, but they are being taught the book by the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This highlighting the fact that even the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they understood something which they may have literally understood, but the context and the rulings taken from the verse, or the correct understanding of verses from the Quran, were understood through the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So for someone today just to pick up the Quran and attempt to translate from his own mind is endangering his understanding and is bordering fabrication, because he has no authority to talk about the Quran from himself. The Quran was explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understood by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who taught it to those who followed them, and this became part of an unbroken chain of understanding. So this account of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and is a reminder for all those who seem to have this misplaced confidence in self-studying the Quran and understanding the Quran, not even from the source language, but from their own personal research without any kind of training in the Islamic sciences. This is not the right way to go about studying or understanding the Quran. The Quran should be understood from the explanations and clarifications of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the great scholars in this religion who have written commentaries of the Quran, which we benefit from to this very day. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to understand the traits of piety, the traits of the tasawwuf, the attributes of the tasawwuf, that we learn from these different statements of advice that were shared in this episode. And in our search for piety, we attain success with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.